peace of Jerusalem, the city of peace, what we long for. And yet, what the Lord Jesus Christ describes in the Sermon on the Mount is about fulfillment, something that the Lord Jesus Christ is announcing, giving his blessing to, is accomplished in the people of God. What is it? It's being the peacemaker's children. Starting at verse 1 and then reading all the way to verse 9 this time. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It's been quite a year. Capitol riots, George Floyd riots, battles, conflict. What is it that Jesus is talking about here? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, in order to answer that question, we have to see what being a peacemaker is. Because in the first place, peacemaking involves being related to the peacemaker himself. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, you know that Isaiah 52 announces the beauty on the mountains of the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. Peace, which comes through Jesus Christ. In Acts 10, verse 36, Peter summarizes the gospel in this way. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Preaching peace as a summary of the gospel. God has brought about peace through Jesus Christ. That's an important thing for us to recognize as we start out, because we often think about peace as the ceasing of war. You might watch a Miss America competition, and they'll ask the contestants these questions, and they'll say, what do you want for the world? Peace. I want world peace. It's a very common answer. But what God has brought about is peace between God and man. He's brought about reconciliation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this has cost the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that is not easily obtained. This is not the faking of peace. This is not pretend peace. This is not passing over the problem. No, the Lord Jesus Christ actually brought about peace, as the book of Colossians tells us, through his own work on the cross. Colossians 1 and verse 20 speaks of the one who pleased the Father, that in him all fullness should dwell. And then it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You see, God has brought about through Jesus Christ peace, but it was accomplished through the blood of his cross. And the book of Ephesians tells us of the two sides that are set before the work of Jesus Christ. These two sides being the Jews and the Gentiles. And we were on the Gentile side. And the book of Ephesians says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, near, by the blood of Christ." And the Bible describes that being brought near in terms of peace. And the Bible says, "For he himself is our peace." He is our peace. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. The peacemaker. The one who makes peace with God. Jesus. Who hath made both one. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, two, one new man, so making peace. What the Bible is saying is that the Lord Jesus Christ, by his work, has formed the people of God. And the people of God being formed represent peace. Peace with God. It is a peace that has been accomplished in Jesus Christ. He himself is our peace. But is also applied to the two sides. And that he might reconcile both, that is, Jews and Gentiles, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. The gospel is a proclamation of peace, peace with God. The two sides brought together. Jew and Gentile brought together, one, because of the peace that God brings about. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Why is it that we start here? Why is it that we start with this role of Jesus Christ in bringing about peace? Well, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of peacemakers as being called the children of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is declaring to us something that is accomplished in himself. The Son of God, the one who represents the union of God and man together in himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, peace with God, is a demonstration of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder then that his work involved bringing the two sides together and being himself declared to be our peace. No wonder that the gospel is the declaration of peace, good tidings, the declaration of peace by Jesus Christ, even to the children of Israel. You see, we often think of peace on the horizontal level. But the Bible is describing for us peace that comes about, first of all, in our relationship with God. And that's important because it is the foundation of the peace that we are to seek among others. God has reconciled us to himself in Jesus Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 says. As the Holy Spirit shows us what has been accomplished in the mighty work of Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And how is that described, being reconciled to God? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And having committed unto us, that is the apostles, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Pay attention to the peace that God has brought about in Jesus Christ, peace with himself. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, all of this is review for us, but it's important for us as we consider what peace looks like. It's important for us as we consider what it is like to be those who are given this declaration of blessing from Jesus Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You see, there are different ways to get off the track in our relationship with one another. We can be peace breakers. We can be those who bring about warfare where it didn't exist before. We can be those who bring about the conflict that comes about because of sinful words and actions on our part. Or we could be peace fakers. We can pretend that there is peace without actually getting involved. And sometimes in the Church of Jesus Christ, that's what we think peace looks like. Well, I know that if I just stay quiet, that everything's going to work out. But this is an active term, you see. And that's why we need to look at the work of Jesus Christ. That's why we need to look at what Jesus Christ did. He actually won peace by his work on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ came actively to bring about peace, peace between the two sides. And he brought it about in the body of Christ. You see, the world is looking for peace, looking for reconciliation in many different ways. Capital riots, George Floyd riots. But underneath the noses of people who do not know the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is accomplishing something that the world cannot attain by itself. The work of Jesus Christ applied to men and women and boys and girls. The book of Ephesians talks about this peace as a bond that we have together. Listen to this, the beginning of chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What is being said there is that there is a unity that we have in the Spirit. It is a bond, the peace of God that binds us together. That's the peace that we are to seek actively to obtain, to endeavor to keep it. It's not something that we obtain ourselves, but we're to endeavor to keep it. That's what peacemaking is all about. And so this is described for us as being the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's a high term, to be called the child of God, to be called one of the sons of God. It was a majestic privilege, a title in the Old Testament. In places like Deuteronomy 14, verse 1, or Hosea 1:10. And now, this term is used of those who have the kingdom given to them as an inheritance. Those who are the meek, who inherit the earth. Those who are given the promise that when they hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Those who come to God with poverty of spirit, because they know that they have nothing to offer in themselves. I can't even obtain this peace. This peace is won by Jesus Christ. This peace is accomplished by the work of his Holy Spirit. I am bound together with my fellow believers in Jesus Christ. And this is a kingdom benefit. You don't become a child of your parents by your own activity. You simply are born. But sometimes, when people talk about peace, and the world thinks about what this looks like, they think that it is simply getting along with other people. And that's something I can do. I can make the effort to get along with other people. But the Bible says that it's important to recognize that we are not the children of God simply by nature. That it's part of the redemptive work of God to become his children. That's what we are given the right to be called. That's what the gospel according to John tells us at the very beginning, as the gospel declares to us what God has accomplished in making us those who are born from above, those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you know that it takes power from God for you to be called a son or daughter of God? To be a child of God, it takes power from him. Power to bring about peace with himself. We're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. You can't be born physically by an activity that comes from you, but you can't be born spiritually by an activity that comes from you either. You need to be born of God. You need to be born from above. So the first thing that we need to consider when we talk about making peace is pointing other people to Jesus Christ. Is being part of the means by which God communicates his redemptive work to men and women and boys and girls. That's important. And the reason it's important is because later on in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ shows that peacemaking, in the way that he's describing it, actually sometimes brings about division. And that's important for us to know. If we are truly focused on peace with God, the peace with God that's obtained through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, there is going to be division. We can't whitewash that. We can't gloss it over. We can't say that it doesn't happen, because Jesus Christ says that it does. Listen to what he says in Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that there are going to be people who will separate themselves from you because you are putting Jesus Christ first and foremost. There's going to be division. That's not the kind of peace that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here. He's talking about peace with God, first and foremost. Peace with God that comes about by being joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not to say that there aren't ways in which we are called upon and given the opportunity to pursue this peace. God is a God of peace. We read that in Romans 16, we read that in 1 Thessalonians 5, we read that in Hebrews 13, verse 20. What we often use as the benediction at the end of the service. But as we seek to bring about this peace, there are ways that we need to conduct ourselves that cause this peace to be promoted. We are, remember, Ephesians 4 said we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the bond of peace that we've been given by the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like? Well, Jesus tells us later on in this very chapter. He helps us. He says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time," verse 21, "Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Jesus is talking about a way to make peace. Now, that is not something that every person in the Church of Jesus Christ wants to do, to go and be reconciled to someone with whom you have a conflict in order to worship properly. But that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's saying that this is one of the means by making peace. And then he goes further. If we look at the end of chapter 5, he begins to talk about our enemies. He says in verse 43, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." There it is. Jesus Christ is filling out what it means to be children of the peacemaker, children of the Father. And he even says that we are to act in this way towards our enemies. Why? Because we don't know who's going to be reconciled with God. We don't know which of these unbelievers around us are going to be reconciled with God and be our own family, the family of God. "He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Jesus Christ is talking about loving those who persecute you, loving those who treat you spitefully because of the desire to see the peace of God reign. The peace of God that joins all of God's children together. Which people that have conflict with you might be members of the kingdom yet to be displayed? Which people in your life, in your sphere of influence, might be those that Jesus Christ has shed his blood for? You don't know. And so you're being called upon to be a peacemaker, to be one who seeks and desires this peace. Now, it's true that there's going to be division sometimes. Jesus makes that clear in Matthew 10. It's true that people are going to separate themselves from you if your motivation is to devote yourself to peace with God. But Jesus gives you the way forward. Jesus gives you the way to be reconciled with your brothers and even with those who are called your enemies. This is what it means to be part of the child, to be one of the children of God. God himself is a peacemaker. He has accomplished this peace in Jesus Christ. The word for peacemaker that's used here is found only here in the New Testament. It's a very specific word. It's speaking of God's action of bringing about peace. And it's saying that the people of God are to be characterized by this action. You and I know very well, personal experience, that there are situations in which it's easy to say one person escalated the situation and broke peace. But it's on them. They did it. I didn't do it. I didn't start this. They have to come to me. But the Bible says that to be a child of God is to make peace. It's an active word. It's based on the activity of Jesus Christ in making peace with people who were his enemies, you and I. This is the activity that Jesus Christ is saying is characteristic of the children of God. To be called a child in this way, based upon the language that the Jewish people knew, was to say that the child takes on the characteristics of the parent. To be a child of God in this way is to take on the characteristics of God. God, the peacemaker. God who brought about peace with his enemies. God who approached a fallen world and sent his son and brought about something that the world did not have. You see, this is what the world does not know. That in the midst of a world that's crying out for peace and justice, that God has accomplished a work of peace in this world through his son that is being expressed in the body of believers day in and day out. You and I are to be part of this active work of pursuing peace. Peacemaking, an active activity. Now, when you're talking to someone who is not at peace with you, it is important that you take the time to consider that person's standing in the body of Christ, to consider that person as one for whom Jesus Christ died. If they're an enemy, then you approach them the way that Jesus says at the end of Matthew 5. You love those who do not love you back, that you might be like your Father in heaven, who sends the Son to all, who sends rain on all of the people who are on the face of the earth. But when you know that someone is a believer in Jesus Christ, you know that there is a unity that you have. You know that there's a unity that you have that's in the Spirit. You know that that person belongs to Lord Jesus Christ. You know that that person is one for whom Jesus Christ died. You know that God has actively brought about peace in that person's life. That that person is characteristic of the Father in heaven. That they have this identity. They are peacemakers too. And so the call is to appeal to that person to be reconciled to you, reconciled to God in the area in which they need it. This will take patience. Sometimes it's important to take the time to listen, to find out what it is that caused that person to engage in warfare against you. Sometimes it is not the right time for you to be the person to speak. But it's important that we recognize that peacemaking is an active activity. The easiest thing to do is to stand by and just wish for peace. Sort of like the clicking of one's heels together and saying, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. It's not active peacemaking, is it? It's a great movie. But we know that peacemaking with men and women and boys and girls is hard work. It's hard to listen, especially when someone's telling you that you did something wrong. It's hard to hang in there when people are fighting with one another, both sides. If I step in the middle, I might get hurt. But if it's modeled on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's modeled on the active, pursuing love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that caused him to shed his blood on the cross, that caused him to in himself become peace, we know that two sides can be held together by the work of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We know that there is a way for someone to go into the middle of two sides fighting with one another and actively bring about peace. Because that's what it means to be a child of God. And we know that this takes the work of Jesus. Everything in the Sermon on the Mount requires that we rely upon Jesus Christ. We cannot have this identity that's outlined for us verse after verse here apart from Christ. We can't have this identity apart from the Spirit of Christ. But you, personally, are an active peacemaker. You are. Because the Bible calls you a child of God. And that is what God has done for you and for this whole group of believers. All of the believers around the world. You can step into the middle of two sides and actively work for peace. The Spirit will help you. Because the Spirit is the one who brought about that bond in the first place. People of God, consider the blessing, the blessed life of one who can do something that the world cannot do. Make peace where there's no peace. That's what being a child of God looks like. That's what Jesus says. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.